Today we come together on Father's Day to worship and to celebrate life and to think about life. So often in the church we celebrate Mother's Day. You know, every year we have beautiful flowers that are handmade by the children that they pass out during the service. And so often life gets busy by the time we get into June. All those changes are taking place and we're going in a million different directions. And sometimes it's as if we forget Father's Day in the church. And I think we do. As you'll hear later in the message, as they're going along in the message, we need to repent for that. We need to think about that. We need to be intentional in reaching out and caring for the guys in our midst and helping them to fulfill the responsibility that each and every one of us has. So today we've decided to celebrate Father's Day in a couple of different ways. First of all, we do have a gift that we're going to hand out, and we'll do that. I'll need some help from some of the youth and some of the ladies here in a few minutes when we get to that point. Also, we have a special coffee hour that's been put together afterwards, so we're hoping folks will stay and be a part of that as we remember fathers in our lives, as we give thanks for the privilege of being fathers, as we even weep fathers that we weep because we miss fathers that we don't see anymore, and give thanks for those who have maybe helped to fill that gap somewhere in between. The message this morning will be a little bit different. I'm not going to share with you a scripture right from the beginning, but I'll share with you some proverbs from Proverbs 15 and 17 a little bit later in the message. But first, I want to tell you a story. A story of a man we're going to name Mr. Jones to protect the innocent or the not-so-innocent, whichever the case may be. Mr. Jones was a hard-working man. He was the kind of guy that this country is built on. He was a guy that worked many hours every day, who dealt with all the different challenges that came along the way. He had a wife, he had two children, he had the white picket fence and a dog in the backyard. He had all anyone could ask for. He worked, like I said, he worked hard every day, and sometimes he worked really long hours. And he had to stay so focused on the work that needed to be done and on the time that he had to do it, that it was really hard to pay attention to the people that he was meeting every day. Sometimes when he would come home, he really didn't have time to connect with the family and friends because it was just hard to shut off the things that were running through his mind about work. Anybody ever been there? Well, eventually Mr. Jones was hit with one of those moments that really makes you stop and think. He had some heart trouble, and so he had to go in for surgery. And that time in waiting for his surgery, really, he started thinking about life. And he came out of that surgery and out of that season of his life with all new priorities about life. And he did the best he could to try to change the habits, even though they kept getting in the way. But to try to spend more time with people and to really enjoy the time that they were spending together, to really be present with them in the moment, rather than thinking about the other things that were going on in life. He tried to spend more time with his kids. He tried to really think about his life and the things that he learned about his faith and about his journey through life and how he could share them with his kids and in what moment he could share them so that they would remember him. Not because he wanted to lecture him, but because he really didn't want him to make the same mistakes that he'd made. And his life continued to go on, and you know, all the challenges that come with growing older, he eventually became sick again. He found out he had a terminal illness and found out he didn't have a whole lot of time to live. And so he began to take more time to connect with people in different ways. He began to reach out to those friends that he used to work side by side with, but yet couldn't connect with them and couldn't share life with them, and called to say hi and to see how they were doing. Of course, as time went by, his body got weaker and became more tired. It was harder to connect with people. It was hard to get out of the house. It was harder to stay awake when folks were over. And eventually, he knew what was lying ahead. And he called the pastor from the church he'd been a part of. And this pastor had walked with him through all the seasons of his life. He said, "Pastor, I want you to come over." And he said, "I really want to talk to you for a little while." So one sunny, warm afternoon, the pastor came in. He sat down at the bedside. He took Mr. Jones by the hand and just sat there quietly for a minute. With a twinkle in his eye, Mr. Jones looked up into his face and he says, "Pastor, I got a favor to ask of you." And I have to tell you, as a pastor of almost 10 years now, that happens a lot. And it's one of those moments in life where you actually stop breathing for just a minute because you're not sure what's going to come next or where this is going to go. And suddenly Mr. Jones began to unfold his entire life. He began to share the lessons he learned. And he brought it to one point that was so important that needed to be shared. The pastor took notes, and without knowing it, Mr. Jones was... With knowing it and without knowing it, Mr. Jones was writing his own eulogy right there. And of course, that day came when he would take his last breath and he would go to rest from his labors and see the God that he had worshipped and trusted all of his life face to face in a whole new way. And then everybody gathered for the funeral. And that journey through grief began in a real deep way, or continued in an even deeper way. They'd been grieving the thought of his loss for a while now. And so the pastor stood up and he told all about Mr. Jones' life and he shared all the notes that he'd taken. And he got down to the end of the message. He said, friends, he says, you know, Mr. Jones wanted you to know one thing today about life. He wants you to know that every one of us has been given the same precious 24 hours in a day and we get to pick and choose how we're going to use it. And he says, to make the most of it. He's seen how hard you're working. He's seen how many hours you're putting in. He's seen all the accomplishments, all the things that you're accomplishing. And he has one thing to say in the middle of it all. And with that, the pastor quietly reached into his pocket and he said, lighten up, your life's a gift. It was a moment people would never forget because it was a moment that was filled with the wisdom of a man who'd been there and done that and was willing to take the time to mine those nuggets and to share them with others. So we're going to pause here for a moment. I need a hand from some of the ladies and some of our youth, if they would, in passing out the gifts. I'm sorry, guys. The Sunday school wasn't in session, so there was no handmade flowers. But we do have squirt guns for everybody. There you go. There you go. Just in case, since you're up front and in the target of fire, you probably better have one. Thank you.
I noticed your son got one.
Oh, thank you for the warning. But you know, I encourage you guys, you know, whether you've got a desk in the office or, you know, I encourage you to have fun with it today. You know, that's why we gathered here to lighten up and remember life's a gift. But you know, take it with you. If your desk is in an office, put it on the desk to remind you what's really important. Sometimes we take ourselves way too seriously. Life gets heavy and we can do that. If your dashboard of your car happens to be your office like mine is sometimes, put it there as a reminder. And who knows where you might come in handy during the week as well. You know, I put this message together about a month ago while I was down at that VOAD conference in Florida and at Disney. And on that last day that I was there, while I was killing time to get on the airplane, I took my life into my own hands and ventured across that 6-lane highway one more time to spend some time over to downtown Disney, just sitting there in the sun and watching people. And suddenly I realized there were a few different groups of dads that were there. And I want to lift up some of them today so that we can think about things. First of all, there were those dads that were there laying by the pool. They were just wiped out from life. It was like they had just run around to the bases and had an in-the-park home run, and they'd slid into home with nothing left to give. And so they quietly lay there in the sun, and they might wake up if they heard their wife yelling at the kids. Ever been there? Ever been there? And then there were those who were the protector and the providers, who were willing to be the tour guides, and they knew that the day started at 0900, just like it did every day of the week.
It was scheduled with something every hour on the hour, and the family was going to have fun whether they liked it or not. Ever been there, done that? Then there were those dads who really had their had mom's back. But they had it at a distance. They were watching mom play with the kids. They were watching mom take the kids on and off of rides, in and out of restrooms, find a way to get through all the deals that go with using the restroom. They were going to make sure nothing happened from a distance. So they had their back. Then there were those who had been the protector provider, but had kind of moved up. It had become had taken on the role of the angry general. You know, the one who's there and realizes that people aren't having fun the way he wants them to? And that maybe the schedule's falling behind and everybody in the park knows it. And no matter how much he likes it or doesn't like it, nobody's going to have fun because of the way the trip's become. Then there were others who were sitting there by the lake, staring off into the space. Their heart and mind was a million miles away. The kids were playing at their feet, but they were thinking about what work had to be done, what their aging parents needed, what other challenges they were facing with the economy and other things that are happening in life. And then there were still others who had that smile on their face and looked down and interacted with the kids once in a while, but still had that BlackBerry in their hand because they were far too important to put that down. Because things had to be done. They needed to be done now. I mean, life is about being productive. So it was too hard to take time away from that. Now you might say, Pastor, it's kind of judgmental to sit there and look at people like that, but I have to tell you, it wasn't being judgmental at all. It was identifying with others. Because I've been there, done that, and found myself in every one of those positions. And in spite of my faith that comes in and out, or because of my faith that comes in and out like a tide, and because of the challenges that come with life, I still find myself in those places from time to time. And in need of a reality check. Now you got to think about where this was happening. I mean, this is at Disney. This is a place that on every street corner reminds you to be present in the moment. There's great big signs in full living color and colors that you can't even buy in a paint store that says, celebrate today. On every receipt, and they're hoping you're going to take a lot of them home with you. At the top of every receipt, there's a magic picture of the Magic Kingdom and a sign that says, celebrate today. It's a place that when extreme makeover comes into somebody's life that's become overwhelmed with all the things that can come along the way, they send them to Disney. Because there's nobody else who can help them celebrate today in the midst of the challenges of life, like Disney. But yet, even in the middle of all that, those patterns, those habits become impossible, seemingly impossible, to break. You know, there were some dads that really were trying to get it. Some were playing and high-fiving with their kids along the way. Others were taking time to say, I love you, by quietly sit there and playing on the computer or things at the airport. We live in a world where we need to challenge. We need to be challenged as men and challenge men in our lives and in our community to rise up to the challenges that we face every day. You know, we live in a world where we are shaped to be task-oriented, time-focused, productive people. And that mindset produces all kinds of productive employees. And it makes for a great business. It keeps businesses growing. And it's part of what this country is built on. But yet somehow we need to learn to separate and to disconnect all of that because it's not helpful in building personal relationships and making the most of the blessing of family that we've been given to enjoy in life. The need for fathers to have healthy relationships with their children, with others around them, in our country today is real. It's one of the top things, like one of the top four things that President Obama is working with the Agency of Human Services. There's whole task forces developed around that need. And that's not a political statement, folks. It's a sign of our times. It's a reality check for where we're at. And it's not a time to sit and to point our finger at the government for not doing what they should have done. It's a time when we have to take responsibility for some things ourselves. And the church, we realize that as a church, in some ways we have forgotten fathers. That we don't take the time to celebrate. That we don't take the time to equip and to encourage. And so as a pastor, I'm here to repent for that and to invite us as a church to do that. And to look at what we need to move into the future that we have. Some authors and experts, they write all kinds of books about these type of these things. And some of them say that it's because the illustrations that we use in the sermons aren't masculine enough. People can't identify with them. Sometimes that's true. They say that it's because we don't have right ways for guys to connect. You know, guys don't necessarily connect over quilting. Guys don't connect over craft fairs. Guys don't connect over baking something together. But guys do connect a lot of times through fishing, through working on projects together, and even in many places now growing Bible studies. We need to, as a church, look at how that needs to, how we can help that to happen in the future. But I really do believe that it's more complicated than that. I want to lift up one more group of dads that I saw that day. It was a group of dads that was primarily made up of fathers of adult children. In many cases, they were grandchildren or grandfathers. They quietly walked beside their adult children, spending time with not only their children, but their grandchildren as well. They looked for opportunities to listen as they watched and played with the kids. They saw teaching moments and they shared wisdom with their children in transparent ways. Hear that again. They looked for those opportunities to share wisdom with their children in transparent ways. In other words, folks, they didn't look for a place to preach. They looked for a place to say, this is what I've learned going through life and this is how I learned it. They were willing to be real and say, these are the mistakes I've made and you don't have to make them. They were willing to say, even if you've made these mistakes, I'm going to encourage you because there's life beyond those mistakes. So they were willing to take the time to do that. You don't have to go to Disney to see that happening. We see glimpses of it right here. Dads taking time to travel and to be with sons and son-in-laws when they're going through difficult times and just share life with them. Dads coming to be with grandkids while their children deal with illnesses. Dads willing to stop mowing the lawn and going to the dump in order to have coffee with other young men and to share their ears and a bite-sized morsel of wisdom. We have a Heavenly Father who sacrificed so much more than we could ever comprehend. We have a Savior that died so that we don't have to. We just sang about how firm a foundation that Jesus laid. But yet we go through life thinking we've got to reinvent the wheel and do it by ourselves in order to be successful. But that foundation's already been laid. We just have to walk in the way that already goes before us. We need to remember that we have a God who comes to bring healing to our broken past and to restore the promise of a brighter future. He's a God who offers grace and wisdom that will transform our lives and our churches from the inside out and ultimately lead to the changing of the world that we live in. So I want to share with you just a few different proverbs that come from Proverbs 15 and 17. They're just different things that talk about the heart and that talk about relationships. Solomon was a man that knew wisdom came at a great price and shares it in some wonderful ways. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply. How good is a timely word? You ever been in one of those places where you're going through life, where you're trying to figure something out, where maybe you find somebody that'll listen to that, and suddenly they can reframe it in a way you've never thought of it? A timely word can make all the difference in the world. We need to be humble enough to receive it, brave enough to share it. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. We live in a world that's filled with illness. It's filled with all kinds of health issues. It's filled with a million different people writing self-help books about how to make life better. But yet, thousands of years ago, Solomon says a cheerful look can bring joy to the heart. Just giving somebody a little bit of good news can give health to their bones. Children's children are a crown to the aged. And parents are the pride of their children. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. As I said earlier, we need to repent. We need to repent for the way we've ministered to dads down through the ages. But it doesn't mean that we need more sermons that are geared towards dads. It doesn't mean that we'd have to have more special father, more services for fathers. But it means that we need men who are willing to take the time to look into our own hearts and to see where we need to lighten up. As a recovering perfectionist who's being transformed as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have learned time and time again to take my faith and relationship with God more and more seriously every day, but to take myself less and less seriously every day. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about recognizing the way that God has already laid through the highest mountains and the deepest valleys that come. We need to pray as a church about ways that we can gather. Ways that we can gather as men to pray for each other, to encourage one another, to learn from one another. And I'm serious about that. I don't say that lightly. I pray that some folks here today will take that challenge and really begin to pray about how we might do that. What would a men's group look like in this church? And how we might gather and connect with one another? We need men who are like Mr. Jones, who've been there, done that, and have learned much from their journey through life, but are also willing to take the time to share that wisdom, to mentor young men in this fast-paced world that we live in, sharing those lessons with them. And I want to just close by saying one last time that a father-son connection really is about relationship and not about the bloodline. It's really about taking the time to build healthy relationships with others, relationships that we were created for, and that our life is supposed to be built on. Will you join with me in prayer, please? Lord, I pray that You would just continue to move among us here this morning. I thank You for the things that You bring to mind for each of us that helps us to grow. I pray that for every one of us, You've helped us to see something that we need to let go of in order to lighten up and to enjoy the life that You've given us. I pray that for each one of us that You would open up our heart to see where You might be leading in ways that we can encourage men, not only in the church, but in our community, a way we can reach out to one another, share what life is all about. Lord, we look forward to the way that You'd appear in those conversations, the way that Your faith would come alive, and the way that we'd recognize our own faith stories in the process. We pray for more and more men that would rise up to share their wisdom with young men and mentor them in intentional ways. Ways that aren't necessarily rooted in a program, but happen outside the walls. We thank You for those that have been lifted up this morning that are doing that. Those that are spending time coaching youth. Those that are spending time teaching youth. Those that are spending time just having coffee with another. Lord, You've challenged us to let our little light shine this morning. We pray that You'll teach us how to do that in real, relevant ways. it'll be timely and make a difference in the lives of many others in ways that we couldn't even dream of asking. Lord, thank You for Your love and for Your faithfulness. Thank You for being with us this morning, and more importantly, thank You for being with us on the road that lies ahead. And as always, we ask these things looking forward to what You and You alone can do with it all. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen.